Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Man, the last thing you wanted to see on that final drive is TJ Watt go down. Who do you think's their most important player? I heard the guys, the PM guys, wondering if it was Pickens last week. I would say there's three choices. I think Pickens, Russ, or TJ. And it's hard for me not to still say TJ. I mean, you saw what he did in that game yesterday before that. I don't know how Hurts didn't fumble before the half. That was like a miracle. And that would have been TJ's second forced fumble. It's, to me, and I've gone back and forth on TJ, Russ, I think it's TJ, Russell, and then Pickens. You? And Hayward's pretty high up there, too.
They're, what, 1-10 without T.J. Watt all time when he's been on the roster? I mean, I think that's pretty evident of itself. And then Russell Wilson will be the clear and obvious second-place guy.
The only reason I gave the Steelers a chance as I was watching the game is because they come with serious power from the edge. They really do. I mean, they have three great pass rushers. Maybe one great, two very good with Watt, Highsmith, and even Herbig. And then Cam, you throw in Cam. Their pass rush is the biggest reason I think that they could still advance in a playoff situation. They bring it. Now, unfortunately, Tomlin also mangled the end of the first half. I mean, that was coaching malpractice. And that gets me to where I want to go here, which is the inconvenient truth with Tomlin. And we've talked about this the past few weeks, Limits. He's the indisputable star on Hard Knocks. He's a compelling character. He's, by all accounts and appearances, a really good man who cares about his players. And he's a good coach. The question around here in recent years has been, is he still the right coach for this team? Maybe this year he's proving yes. He's having a good year. Final results pending, I might add. But let's not retroactively play out these last couple of years like, oh yeah, I was completely wrong forever harshly criticizing him, or man, how could we have even said that it might be best for Tomlin and the Steelers to part ways? Because there were legitimate reasons to. That's why the inconvenient truth regarding Tomlin is that he has not come anywhere close to winning a playoff game in 7 years. His defenses have been destroyed in the playoffs when the Steelers make the playoffs. Sometimes they don't. His team has won 3 playoff games in the last 13 years against Matt Moore, AJ McCarron, and Alex Smith, which was a good win. They didn't score a touchdown in that game, but that was the last of the, that's when the Chiefs realized, you know, we need to draft a quarterback. So how do we reconcile that? Like, I don't want to go overboard one way or the other. I feel like people have gone overboard this year with the, oh my God, how could we ever have ever questioned him? Because there was legitimate reason to question him, and there still is when it comes to the biggest games. That's why all this praise deserved for making that Lone Ranger move to Russell Wilson. That was a gutsy move. It looks like he was very right about that. So do we ignore that he completely butchered the quarterback situation and lost 2 years out of the careers of Watt, Hayward, and Minka by drafting Kenny Pickett, his choice to draft Kenny Pickett, his guy, and the fact that he hired and doubled and tripled down on Matt Canada? How do we reconcile all of that? I don't reconcile it by saying, oh my God, we were all crazy. Look at this guy on Hard Knocks. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. That's not the way I reconcile it. The way I do is he has a lot of proving still to do that he can win big games. It's been a long blank in time since this guy showed he can win big games. I wish it wasn't the case. That's why I call it an inconvenient truth. I mean, you have, I've mentioned it both weeks of Hard Knocks. They open usually with all three coaches other than Tomlin in the AFC North. So you see the coaches more than anybody else. The other three guys look like cliche spewing duds of personalities. Tomlin's a movie star. But that's very separate from, again, the inconvenient truth that every one of those guys has won playoff games more recently than him. I know it's very inconvenient, but it is kind of the bottom line until proven otherwise. 412-928-9370. And now I wonder what's going to become of the rest of this season. I do. You know, it's not like they haven't collapsed before under Tomlin. They've had late season collapses. And if they don't win this division, that is a collapse, by the way. That can be rectified come playoff time because, well, wait, am I allowed to say the playoffs are all that matters? Because if the playoffs are all that matter, Tomlin hasn't come close to winning a playoff game in 7 years. That's very inconvenient. I'd rather say, well, they're always in it and his teams always win 10 games and, gee, isn't everything great and he's one of the greatest coaches who ever lived, like everybody's saying off Hard Knocks. I'm just not convinced that's the case. Pending further proof. That's why they play the rest of the season. It's very conflicting, City Limits. And as I've mentioned a number of times here, it's very inconvenient that he doesn't win big games anymore.
Well, I mean, obviously the lack of playoff success is a significant issue, and I still am pretty adamant that Tomlin needs somebody on the sideline with him for clock management. Like, there was another timeout usage in the game where I was just questioning it, wondering why. Why do you call a timeout in that situation? And they waited 25 seconds late in the first half, too, to get the ball back. So that's another thing that I always question and wonder with him. But yeah, I mean, I don't put... Coaching was not a strength for them yesterday, and I thought that they had the advantage with coaching with Tomlin, Danny Smith, and Terrell Austin over Sirianni and his bunch. And I expected them to get out physical up front. I didn't think it would be this bad.
I heard other people say that, too, before the game, that the Steelers' big advantage in that game was Tomlin. And, in fact, it worked the other way. Sirianni was the one not living in his fears at the end, letting his guy throw from the goal line. Tomlin was the one punting from the other team's 46 with 11 minutes left, down two touchdowns on a 4th-and-7 or whatever it was. And then there's also, again, sort of going against the grain of Hard Knocks, another very inconvenient truth is he's had two of his worst games in recent memory in these last four games. They're 2-2 in their last four. And the Browns game in Cleveland was one of the worst decisions of his entire career, to basically have a red-hot quarterback, starter, clear-cut starter, and Russell Wilson, the guy he went Lone Ranger for, standing next to him on the sidelines and letting Justin Fields throw a ball 40 yards down the field with the game on the line. His first such pass in about a month. It was insanity. By Artie Smith and Tomlin. just coaching malpractice. There were other questionable decisions in that game. Namely, not calling the Browns' bluff, Stefanski's bluff on that 4th-and-2. You want to kick it in the snow? Go ahead. We'll still have time to come back. Instead, they take the penalty. We know what happened from there. A lot of the other decisions are 50-50. I don't have a problem with Tomlin going for it from his own territory, that type of thing. But, man, to bench, basically, your starting quarterback for the biggest throw of a game that you're trying to win when the number one seed's still out there and everything else, it was crazy. And then yesterday, another case of blatant coaching malpractice. You have about 1:55 left in the first half. You have two timeouts. You used one before the two-minute warning. I didn't really understand why you didn't use two before the two-minute warning. Then you basically get the ball back with 2 minutes left. But whatever. That's one of those, whatever. Different coaches do different things.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He let almost half a minute go off the clock. Do we have that? Ray Fittipaldo asking him, and one of the most mind-boggling explanations for that. I mean, they were getting back in the game. They were back in the game. A nice throw from Russ to Freiermuth. You were about to have a crappy punt by the Eagles with great field position. Now, I get it. You didn't know they were gonna have that kind of punt. But still, you would have had plenty of time, almost 2 minutes, to go down the field, I think, still with a timeout. And he let a half a minute in that situation. I don't know, is that 25% of the time left in the half go off the clock with everybody just standing around watching? Then they finally call timeout with 13 seconds on the play clock. I mean, it was mind-blowing. And Ray Fittipaldo asked Tomlin after the game, and this was his explanation.
You know, I got caught up, man, in some information, and I'll just leave it at that.
Caught up in some information? Did he go to look something up on the internet at that point? Did he go to Wikipedia or Google to look up, you know, famous facts? What do you mean? What information?
I don't know what information he could have been caught up in.
What was he caught up in other than the clock and the game? That's what was happening.
Did they want
the
to
clock
know
and the game?
Where they were on the field? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. That does not make any sense. Like, unless somebody was trying to say something to Tomlin through their headset.
No, no, no. And go back, to your first statement. It doesn't make any sense. And that's a horrifying explanation that he needs to somehow elaborate on today when he talks to the media. I don't know that I've ever heard that one. I don't even know what to say on that. Can I hear that again? Ray Fittipaldo asked Tomlin, what happened when you lost almost 30 seconds late in the first half and didn't call a timeout?
You know, I got caught up, man, in some information, and I'll just leave it at that.
Just took a little trip on the information highway, hopped in the car. I'm speechless.
When Tomlin says I'll leave it at that, typically it means he is angry about something. So I wonder if whatever information was being given to him was honestly somebody in his headset trying to tell him something, whether it be Mike, this is the time left, or Mike, this is the personnel, Mike, and he just gets like so annoyed with somebody that was in his headset that he just kind of zoned out for a little bit and forgot to call timeout. That's the only logical thing I could think of. And still, it's not good enough.
Or logical. It's illogical. Does he have somebody in his headset? Who's giving him, you know,
he should game, for clock management.
Game strategy advice like clock management? I mean, I don't, that one, other coaches do bad things. It was the guy in Chicago, Eberflus, the way he butchered the end of that game against Detroit on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no timeout. Just leave it one with your hip pocket, Joe. Leave it one in the hip pocket.
That's a 10 out of 10, what Eberflus did. Like, that's. You can't have someone coaching your team doing that.
He Eber lost his job because of it.
Yeah, I mean, Tomlin, that was like a 6 or 7 out of 10. What the hell is he doing?
No logical sense.
I'd rather hear him just say, I had a brain fart. I blew it.
And they went down the field other than the sack to be able to get in field goal range. I mean, if they had another 30 seconds, imagine what they could have done. Maybe even scored a touchdown.
They did butcher it after that, too. Freiermuth had a fumble and then a drop. On back-to-back plays.
And Wilson got sacked.
He recovered his fumble, then he dropped a ball, and then Russ got sacked, and then they actually had a nice little play to Calvin Austin down the seam to at least get a field goal out of it, which was good. But just situation butchered there. What are you doing? And this has been, Tomlin, 2 of the last 4 games. So where do we go from here? They're a 6.5-point underdog in Baltimore. Do they win that game? I don't know. If they lose, they're 10-5. Is Mahomes ready to play? I don't know if he is, and the Chiefs come here and win. Then you're 10-6. And I don't think that's unrealistic at this point. Do you?
No, I don't. I like their chances a lot better if Mahomes does not play just because, I mean, it's
you and everybody else on the planet. Yeah.
I think, though, that just the way that they play Baltimore and, you know, the Steelers have not won in Philly 11 games in a row since 65. We talked about, is that like a real thing with a house of horrors?
No, it's not.
Okay,
what does that have to do with Mike Tomlin not calling timeout?
I'm getting to it. The game against Baltimore is what I was getting to. The Steelers have been a real house of horrors for Baltimore. I mean, and Mike Tomlin has had John Harbaugh's number. So the logical question that I'm asking is here, why not go full force against Baltimore where you've been so good historically and have their number?
When you say full force, you're talking about playing guys who are injured when you normally wouldn't play them in any other game. That's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think that's crazy. The main objective above all others is for Mike Tomlin to finally go into the playoffs with his best players healthy.
So then why not win this game against Baltimore, clinch the division, then
because
rest your guys the next 2 weeks?
Because if you put guys out on the field who you normally wouldn't put out there injured, you're risking further injury.
So do you want to hold out T.J. Watt, hold out Elliott, hold out Pickens until when? The Chiefs?
Until I can answer this question satisfactorily. Would they play in a normal game? If my only criterion is, am I treating this like a playoff game? Like if TJ's 60%, am I putting him out there? I think that's crazy for both of these games, as a matter of fact. For both. If I was going to err on the side of playing guys hurt who I normally wouldn't play, it would be for the Kansas City game because of the extra rest. And despite what you just mentioned about them having Baltimore's number, given the Mahomes situation, I think they might have a better chance of beating the Chiefs at home than the Ravens on the road.
Yeah, but we don't know what the Mahomes situation is yet. Like, we don't know.
Either way, I'm not risking TJ Watt and Pickens for this game. I'm not. I'm not putting them on the field if I wouldn't put them on the field for most other games.
I would much rather play Pickens than Watt, which sounds like a foolish take, but just because of Nick Herbig and Alex Highsmith compared to what we've seen from this wide receiving core, which is the bare bones minimum. And we know that there's a suitable Nick Herbig that can follow.
928-9370, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Mike Tomlin, news conference at noon. Coming up next, the two topics really on the table, the inconvenient truth with Mike Tomlin and playoff wins and his work in two of these last four games, and also the injury situation. What would you do here? What would you do? What you need to know is that this is not a must-win game. The Steelers could lose this game, and then no matter what else happens, if they beat Kansas City and Cincy, they win the division. Why, you ask? Because the tiebreaker would be won by beating Kansas City. What tiebreaker, you ask? Common games. And the tiebreaker for a division title goes head-to-head. If Baltimore wins this game, Steelers and them are tied. Then it goes divisional record. If they both take care of business outside of this game with their final games in the division, they'll both be 4-2, tied. The third tiebreaker above conference record is common games. And right now, the Ravens finished, they've 8 common games. The Ravens finished 5-3 in those games. The Steelers are 5-2 in those games. If they beat the Chiefs, 6-2. Thus, they win the division. Even if they lose to the Ravens, they win the division by winning out. Therefore, I won't say I'm being like ridiculously conservative with these injuries. I'm simply mapping it out this way if I'm Mike Tomlin and company. If we would play TJ against the Jets in October, then I'm playing him against the Ravens. If it's only, hey, I wouldn't put this guy on the field in any situation but a must win, then I'm not putting him out there. Or Pickens or Elliott, for that matter. Maybe we're not talking about Elliott enough. He's an incredibly important player. I wouldn't put him near on the level of Watt and Pickens. Those are the two main ones. And then how does Kansas City treat Mahomes now? That's going to be fascinating as well.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.